And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Monday, the second day of December 2024. Can you believe Christmas 23 days away? The end of the year, just 29 days away, then it's 2025. Who'd have thought, huh? How quickly things go, 49 days until the inauguration. That should be a pretty interesting. The next 49 days will be very interesting concerning the events of the weekend. I want to apologize to the people, to our supporters. We did not have a meeting last night, although we planned on having one, except for the snow apocalypse that happened in Erie County, which I've been up here. I've lived up here my entire life. Okay. I've never seen the roads in such bad shape. I've never seen businesses close. I've never seen shelves empty. People, they're wimps. They're wussies. I'm telling you, if anything major happens, folks, you're on your own. Just from what I saw up here. Now, granted, it was bad. There was 5 feet, 5 feet of snow in my driveway, to the extent where I could not shovel my way out. I could not drive my way out. I was stuck. And but that's another story. The lesson here, a couple of lessons. Number one, people will try to. I'll tell you what, it probably wouldn't have worked because of the depth and the weight of the snow. I actually had to get a front end loader pulled in here, and it was that bad to get a front end loader. So, yes.
Option two.
Yes.
Don't live here.
I've been thinking my options. Anyone want to put me up? I don't eat much.
He just needs palm trees, people.
Palm trees and a good cigar. All right, a lot of news to get into. I mean, just a ton of news that they try to hide with the holiday. Before I get to the news, you know, I can't. Folks, I cannot tell you how many times I've talked about this. And I've got a couple of emails about this. Chuck Defense. .com/Hagmann. I'm telling you, I've gotten some good feedback. And if you've ever wondered about Chuck Norris, where he's at, he made a video that I saw. I was surprised by his physical condition. He's 81, or I'm sorry, 84, and still kicking behind and working out and staying active. What's even more shocking, he's stronger, he can work out longer, and even has plenty of energy left over for his grandkids. He did this by making one change. He says he still feels like he's in his 50s. Boy, I know that feeling. I want that back, right? His wife even started doing this one thing, too, and she never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner. She's got energy all day. Well, Chuck, the Chuckmeister, he made a special video that explains everything. Make sure you watch it by going to chuckdefense.com/Hagmann or by clicking the first link below this video. It's going to change the way you think about your health. That's chuckdefense.com/Hagmann. Click on the link in the description box below to watch the video. You're not going to believe how simple it is. And, you know, this guy is a legend. He discovered he can create just dramatic changes to his health by focusing on three things that sabotage our body as we age. And watch his method by clicking the link below. Again, that's chuckdefense.com/Hagmann. And I want to thank the people in the chat, especially those people who have created an account at Rumble. Thank you. And have come into our live chat. We really appreciate that. That does a lot for the numbers. It does a lot for our reach. There's some algorithm that works behind the scenes. I don't know how it works, but really the more people that tune in live, the greater the reach of the program. And it's not because I get that. Okay. I know the math, but there's something that exponentially happens with algorithms. I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's pretty cool. So
that
I want to thank
an amazing thing if that happened.
Eric the Tech, are you, well, you didn't get as much snow where you're at, as I think, as much as I did, but wow.
No, we did.
Yeah, you say.
I just used my snowblower 7 times. Keep up with it.
Man, I'll tell you. I'm sick of this crap. But really what gets me, and this is a lesson I think that people really have to take to heart. No one is coming to your aid. And I was talking with my wife today and I said, imagine like lights going out, power off, a grid being down, where we would be. And she thought about it and she said, yeah, it would be horrific because again, we had 3-4 days notice of this storm and Erie, for crying out loud. Okay. The lake is warm. Cold air comes across it. It's going to dump snow. It's just the way it is. So you have a leadership in this county that sucks. You have a leadership in the city that sucks. That should be impeached, imperiled, and thrown under a jail somewhere. The roads are like washboards, but here's the scary part. The stores, because a state of emergency was declared for this county, these stores aren't receiving shipments of food. So there's no food on the shelves. Now, when I say food, you can get canned soup. I mean, you can get stuff, but they're not full. Shelves are bare. Try buying a banana. You can't get a banana.
Finally got the mail today.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. No mail. My wife went to the bank today. The bank is closed. How in the hell? What? Huh? The bank is closed. Oh, and the post office was closed.
And FedEx. What? And UPS.
And FedEx, yes. We had to send something out by FedEx. They were closed. What the hell? No one works? Got a little snow on the ground and everyone hides? This is why when something bad happens. Oh, and the other thing too. This is great because you know my sunny disposition, right? Okay. You'd love to. Eric the Tech, wouldn't you just love to live next door to me? Come on. Come on. Truth?
Yes.
I detect a tad of hesitation there. Well, you see, here's something I learned. My next door neighbor, and I hope he's listening, because you can bite me. All right? You can bite me. I'll tell you. I mean, if your house was on fire, I'd be sitting on the friggin' porch, you know, smoking a cigar and just saying, well, hey, too bad. This little dweeb's out there in one of these Cub Cadet little things doing his driveway, making sure everything. And I'm piled. I mean, I'm dead buried in, I mean, I can't do crap, right? Now, it's always the ones with the Biden-Harris signs, right? It's always those people. I would never ask for help. I would absolutely not. But do you think this guy is probably 20, 30 years younger than I am? You think he'd come over and say, hey neighbor, look, I know you can't get out. Can I help you? Hey, just pay for the gas. Or, hey, I'll only charge you $50. I don't care. No. He would not. I was out kind of calculating what I needed to do. And he's out there in his little tractor doing his thing, looking over at me like, Poor guy. He really hasn't said anything to me since I put up my Trump sign. He put up his Biden-Harris sign. But here's the takeaway from that, in my view. No one's going to come to your aid. At least not the people that, I mean, people will, but you need a network. You need some people that you can count on. I had a man, and I'll tell you what, I would sing his praises forever because I contacted, now look, before the storm, I contacted several plow companies before the storm. And I got one solid commitment. Yeah, we'll be out. We'll be out. Absolutely. Think they showed? No, of course not. So this one man drove a front, what do you call it? A front end loader, like I said, right? Really across town and bailed me out. Now, again, it's not about me. It's about the principle. It's about how things are going to go when things go bad, and they will go bad. He drove it really across town to get to my home. Now, I've worked with this man before. In fact, I've done some things on his behalf, but he spent probably an hour with a front end loader. And I said, here, let me pay you. He said, I'm not going to take your money. That's a friend. That's a friend. I said, well, let me buy your gas then. Now, let me do, what can I do for you? He said, look, just be my friend. And the next time I need something, just help me out. That's what we need. But I'm telling you right now, we're in a boatload of trouble if anything does happen. Grid down, whatever. Banks closed. Mail shut down. No one wants to work. All right. So some of the headlines, perhaps the biggest headline, look, Kash Patel being head of FBI, I think is perhaps one of the most, I think it's the greatest, perhaps the greatest position on the planet. I mean, I think that this is from what he said back in December, I think it was 2023, about making the FBI building a museum to the deep state. I'm not going to play the clip. Look, actions speak a hell of a lot louder than words. I don't know if that's what he's going to do, but if so, great. But the big news is this presidential pardon. Now, I've got John Moore coming at the bottom of the hour, but I want to hit this really hard. I've done a lot of research on this, and I looked into Ukraine. I looked into the Biden crime family. Of course, I've got all the books. I've got the information. I've got really all of the notes. But this is really one of the biggest, if not the biggest, scandals in the U.S. Folks, please pay attention. If you want to understand the deep state, understand what just happened this weekend. The deep state is going to, and they absolutely positively must bury the reason for an 11-year blanket pardon of Hunter Biden. I said 11 years. That's from January of 2014 through January of 2025. Now, you might think, well, that's 10 years, but no, it's 11 when you count the years. Okay, so anyway, have you ever heard of an 11-year total pardon for all crimes charged and uncharged, any crimes committed over the past 11 years, whether pursued or not pursued, whether they're current or not by the Justice Department? It's a virtual get-out-of-jail-free card. The longest I found, and folks, look at that picture right there. That tells a bigger story and a much more sordid
Daddy.
One. Daddy, I'm telling you. The longest I know of pardons was Ford pardoning Nixon for acts committed during his presidency, which was a 5-year pardon. Never a 10, never an 11-year pardon. The Hunter Biden pardon appears to be the most extensive pardon in American history. Why is this? Done to block the incoming Justice Department from doing anything but move on now, because you can't really stick the FBI, you can't ask them to pursue a crime that has been pre-pardoned before it's even been investigated. Think about this. This has not been investigated. It's pre-pardoned. You can't, there's nothing you can do. This is why this is so critically important to understanding the deep state and who is involved in all of this. This speaks to the vast tunnels. When you get into that rabbit hole, you start going down different holes, different tunnels. This speaks to the vast tunnels of criminality by the Biden crime family. Like Joe Biden, the walking corpse, you can smell the decomp from that political corpse known as Joe Biden and the entire Biden crime family. But why 2014? Why not 2015? Why not 2016? Why 2014? Why of all years pick 2014? Let's talk about this, shall we? Burisma is like a stepping stone, not just to Hunter Biden and the Biden family's corruption, along with other agencies that act as capillaries, such as USAID, Hunter Biden, along with Joe Biden, Frank Biden, Jim Biden, Ashley Biden, and others. Burisma can be described as really the circulatory system for so much of really the entirety of managing the selling out of America, and doing so through the process with the aid of the deep state. But the pardon, when I mentioned the smell of decomp, the pardon serves as a great postmortem of everything that's wrong, everything that went wrong, everything that is wrong with this country right now. Consider the start date again, January 2014. Why then? Ask why. In December 2013, Victoria Nuland, the U.S. State Department under Obama, announced from the embassy, the U.S. embassy, their pre-support. Now, notice I said pre-support of a color revolution, of the color revolution, an event that didn't even happen yet, but was being planned. That color revolution would officially kick off in February of 2014 in Ukraine, when effectively Victoria Nuland and Jeff Piot, the head of the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, orchestrated an actual insurrection, a color revolution. This was them. This was the U.S. State Department. This was the CIA. This was the Department of Defense. This in conjunction with the U.K. and other parties. Now, remember, and this came from the top down from the U.S. Embassy and the U.S. State Department, throngs of revolutionary mobs descended on the Capitol building of Ukraine in order to violently oust a sitting democratically elected government, get them out of power. And then a new government was put in by vote, or was without a vote. I'm sorry. Do you recall that? That was the Maidan Revolution. Remember, it was put in by a phone call from the U.S. Embassy installing the new president, Yatsenyuk. Yeah, Yatsenyuk. Yeah. The CIA, as we know from the New York Times, quickly descended and took over the entire intelligence state of Ukraine, starting immediately thereafter. And that was in March of 2024. So you had an election, a democratic election, really, a coup, and a counter coup. And then this counter coup was started by Nuland, by the U.S. State Department, by Victoria Nuland, by Jeffrey Piot, as well as assets within the intelligence community. But why? Okay, again, March 2014, then there was a counter coup, the entire eastern side of Ukraine. And folks, please get a map of Ukraine, familiarize yourself with the battle lines currently and former. The entire eastern part of Ukraine broke off and declared itself, hey, we are free from this new Kiev government installed by the U.S. That happened in 2014. The result of the chaos led to Crimea to the south voting in an independent referendum to join the Russian Federation. As a consequence, the entire Ukraine energy play, which was at that during that U.S. takeover, the plan was to steal the $1 trillion gas market from Russia and have it be turned over to members of the deep state, specifically members within the city of London, not London, but the city of London. Okay. The London, city of London bankers, as well as Wall Street financiers. That all came to a screeching halt when we no longer controlled the territory in the Donbass and offshore in Crimea, where all of the other part of the Ukraine gas exists. So you had minerals underneath the Donbass. You've got gas reserves off of Crimea. And this obviously...
Donbass.
Kick my Donbass. But you see, this is what this was all about. And you think Hunter Biden, energy. What, he doesn't know crap about energy. But wait a second. You enter Hunter Biden in May of 2014. Again, this is why the revolution was kicked off in early 2014. The plans were made in late 2023, in the third quarter, the fourth quarter of 2023, by the U.S. State Department, by the DOD, by the CIA, in conjunction with MI6, with the UK. So all of this was going on. We are going to capture, says the deep state, the oil reserves, the gas reserves, the mineral reserves under the Donbass, around the Donbass, and off of Crimea. So you have Hunter Biden coming in May 2014. Hunter joins Burisma board. Why? What the hell? This guy's a numbnuts. Okay, he doesn't know crap. And he's joined by none other than Kofor Black. Well, who's Kofor Black? I've heard that name, I think. But who is he? Oh, yeah. He's the guy that spent 30 years in the CIA and even won a CIA Distinguished Medal Award. And Mitt Romney, it was Mitt Romney's connection to the intelligence community that involved the IC's community of a Mitt Romney's presidential campaign in 2012. You tracking me? Eric the Tech, does this make sense so far?
So far.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay. So what happened after Hunter Biden joined Burisma? Burisma got a USAID partnership funding. Okay, USAID, how can I put this, is the funding conduit for the CIA. So Burisma is being propped up by the U.S. intelligence community. I can't really see that, but okay. Oh, that's Hunter Biden that, there's the energy mogul right there on your screen. This is a reason that they, the deep state, the lawmakers, the media, they don't want a forensic examination of the Hunter Biden pardon and the run up to the pardon, including all of the extended Biden crime family. They want this to go away. You could hear it today on the shows. Well, we have to move on. We have to move on. Who gives a shit that Hunter Biden or that Joe Biden promised a pardon? Or promise not to pardon Hunter Biden. Who cares? He changed his mind. So what? Now, he was told this Thanksgiving, if he is even there. Maybe it was Jill. Maybe it was someone, other member of the family. They were told, you want this thing to unravel? Then don't pardon Hunter Biden. they want us to move on, as I said, because a forensic examination, a postmortem of this pardon, would reveal something extremely dark about what we're doing in Ukraine in the first place. You've got biolabs, you've got money laundering, you've got the sex trade, you've got a lot of other things, not to mention the NATO expansion, as well as the monetary interests of the military-industrial complex. But if the people in charge really want the truth to come out on Burisma, now I'm talking about the new incoming Trump people. This is going to be the litmus test. If they want the truth to come out, Hunter and the entire Biden crime family, as well as other players, they could simply have the Senate Intelligence Committee request all documents, classified or not, under the code name for Burisma. This would expose the entire operational blueprint. Burisma was being used as an instrument of statecraft by the Pentagon, by the Department of State, by the CIA, as part of a plan to bankrupt Russia's economy by building up an alternative natural gas supply in Ukraine, which boots out Gazprom. That's what this is all about. That's what Hunter Biden was doing there. But in addition to that, he was personally profiting from the reorientation of U.S. foreign policy. And that was actually the reorientation of the policy. Remember, 10% to the big guy, and how much more to Frank Biden, to Ashley Biden, to Jim Biden, the entire Biden crime family. The Hunter laptop. Why do you think the Hunter laptop was not disclosed or said it was Russian disinformation? The reason why? Let me tell you. Not because of the child porn on there, not because of the child sex trafficking of Hunter Biden, not because of the gun violations of Hunter Biden. By the way, it was a different gun in the film than what he was charged with throwing away. Okay. But not because of all that. That's bad enough. Not because of the cocaine dealing, not just abuse. No, the real issue with the laptop were the emails that implicated selling out our national interests by Joseph Robinette Biden, by Jill Biden, by proxy, I suppose, and especially by Hunter Biden, along with Frank and other family members. That's the real deal. That's more obscene.
Come on, man.
That's right. Corn Pop was a bad dude, too. That's why this whole laptop thing had to go away. That's why this whole pardon thing has to go away. You can't do it. No, you can't touch this. But that's why Hunter Biden was there. Hunter Biden was personally profiting by taking the U.S. policy at the direction of the deep state, fronted by Victoria Nuland and other people like Samantha Power and Obama and Susan Rice and Hillary Rodham Damn Clinton and others involved in all of this. He was personally involved in selling out the U.S. national interests for personal enrichment and influencing our foreign policy for personal profit. The pardon date starts in 2014 and includes the 2014 coup. And again, this marks the U.S. deep state made the ploy to militarily conquer the Donbass, which is where half of Burisma, if you can believe this, half of Burisma mining rights and extraction rights are in Ukraine, exactly where the fighting is. You have to forgive me, I took some notes here. It's the exact territory that has just been lost in the breakaway from the Donbass in 2014. The other half is offshore again by Crimea, near Crimea. And the other half is what we lost in the 2014 counter coup disaster. And that's why the fighting was so hard. So we're giving billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine. We were before Ukraine even was involved in the military war with Russia. Why? Because we were directing the counter coup using the full power of the U.S. military, the U.S. armed forces, as well as our diplomatic, statecraft, and intelligence organizations to reconquer the Donbass. Again, the very territory where Burisma is operating, where resources of Burisma sit, as well as offshore resources of Crimea. So you and I, the taxpayers, were paying billions of dollars so that the Pentagon could, by force, by their military, our military, reconquer Burisma's mining resources and retain its mining rights. While you had U.S. companies like Chevron, like Exxon and other companies, Shell, for example, and others on the U.K. side, you had Halliburton, which had billions of dollars in contract with Naftogaz, the main feeder to Burisma. This is why, folks, that when we saw when there was an announcement of a coup back in December of 2013, this is why Victoria Nuland was standing in front of the signs for Chevron and Exxon, because they had partnerships with Naftogaz, the big Burisma feeder. So you and I, we ended up paying for that coup, the initial coup. And this is about U.S. foreign policy. This is about what we're doing in Ukraine in the first place. And this is a reason they want to bury the Ukraine story, never touch it, but also bury the pardon. The pardon plays a big role in this, because the way to actually collect the best evidence, and John Moore knows all about this, this is treason and a crime spree by the Biden crime family. Is the best way to collect this evidence is through a criminal investigation. It's necessary to get the court involved to order subpoenas, to access everyone's cell phones, email, and bank records. Look, if you don't do that, you're not serious. You're just talking. That's why James Comer, screw you. Okay, I'm not buying your friggin' book. I want action. I don't want talk. I don't want a strongly worded letter. I want action. And I hope when President Trump goes into office, he damn well better take this apart, as well as Kash Patel or anyone else in that position. And they better make a friggin' museum out of the FBI building. This is also the reason why people are freaking out over Kash Patel being nominated as FBI director. It's not because he doesn't have the experience. He does. It's not for any other reason than, oh no, if he finds out, and he already knows, you can read Government Gangsters. He already knows. But if he does something about this, we're all going to jail. That's why Weissman, that crybaby, that little piece of crap that's on MSNBC all the time flopping his gums, is so friggin' scared. That's why you got Brennan saying what he's saying. That's why you got half the flippin' media on the left just being, we've got to move on. No, we don't have to move on. No, I'm not moving on. There are things that happen in my life I will never move on from. I will keep chasing and chasing and chasing and chasing, and I will hunt you down. It should be the same this way. And people do know that. We're in a proxy war, obviously. This whole Ukraine deal is going to be playing out for the foreseeable future. They're not going to stop. When the history books are written, this will be the biggest scandal in American history, if not world history. There's always going to be this war at some level or another because of the long-range plan. And if the true extent of Hunter Biden's involvement, Joe Biden's involvement, and Jim Biden, his involvement, Ashley Biden, her involvement, or at least benefited by this, if that's revealed to the American people, it's going to have to be revealed to the world. And what's that going to do? That's going to give Russia the leg up. That's going to give Russia the moral high ground to say, see, look at the reason why we're fighting in Ukraine. So all of you numbnuts that have a Ukraine flag in your bio. All of you numbnuts out there saying, hey, more aid to Ukraine. Well, why don't you pack your bags, get your asses collectively or individually over to Ukraine and be cannon fodder for the deep state? I would personally love that. In fact, I'll personally buy you a ticket. This is a huge diplomatic incident to the deep state. They're going to call national security because they have to bury the crimes of the Biden family. Norm Eisen was on CNN about, 6 or 7 o'clock tonight. And, he was saying, well, we need to move on from this pardon. The pardon is a cover up. The pardon covers up the exact reason why we're in Ukraine. And, just in case you don't think there'll be more pardons about this, there will be. Take that to the bank. There will be. I know John's waiting. Let's bring John on, and I'm going to see if he wants to. He wants to touch on Joe Biden pardons Hunter video too. If he wants to see that, John, thelibertyman.com. John Moore, thelibertyman.com is with me. John, I want to thank you for joining me for the extended period. God bless you, my friend. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and we got no snow in my neighborhood. Thank goodness.
Well, you can. I can't say that on there.
The British Foreign Service calls St. Louis a tropical assignment, by the way.
I'll give you a tropical assignment.
Roger that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a happy camp. I'm telling you, it's not about my experience over the last couple of days. It's not about me. It's not about the inconvenience. It's about how thin of a string that we are right now, that we have holding things together. When you have snow, and I guess for the last couple hundred thousand years, we've been getting snow up here, right? And throughout the, 20th century, 19th century, we were getting snow up here. But when that snow causes banks to close, post offices to shut down, FedEx to shut down, stores to be emptied, are you out of your mind? I mean, seriously. But, yeah.
Well, I don't know the area that you live in that well, but in many parts of the northern states, they have gates on the interstate to force people off the interstate and keep them from getting on the interstate. Do they have those gates where you live on the interstate highway?
No, they don't. They got a bunch of little midgets going,
Well, that tells me that the snows that like you're experiencing are not the norm. Where they are the norm, they have the gates to keep people off the highway and keep them from getting on the highway.
Yes, but I'll tell you something. Okay. Yeah, I get that. I get that. This happens probably once every 5 or 6 years. You get, 5 foot of snow. You go to Buffalo, same thing. People generally, I've found, are reasonable enough where, they'll stay off 90. Okay. Now, my problem is when you have assets like plows and salt and the manpower to fix things and they don't send them out. Why is that? I'd like to know.
In my neighborhood, they put the chemicals down at the start of the storm. And then they wait until the storm's finished before they get the plows out. And usually, of course, we don't get the kind of snow you're talking about. Typically, in my neighborhood, 3 to 5 inches is about it. Anyway, moving on.
That's
from
what
there.
She said.
Anywhere from there, Doug.
Sorry.
Are you aware that I started interviewing Steve Quayle in the late 1990s?
No, I wasn't.
My first radio show, WGN, you, 920 on the AM dial. Yeah, Steve was my regular guest, for 2 or 3 years, back in the late 90s. And I'd love to do a show with, both you and him someday.
Okay. I guess we can. Yeah. If you want, we can do it. Steve's a good friend and, Yeah, we've known each other for, my goodness, a long time, like you, you know. But, yeah, we've developed a good relationship. But, yeah. So, okay, well, sure. Let's rock. We can do that.
Anyway, moving on from there, I liked your analysis of Hunter Biden. None of it made any sense why this money was trading hands between Burisma and Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, until this very moment. And now it makes complete sense. And reminds me of a book written about 25 years ago called The Prize, which documents the involvement of big oil money in every war going back to about 1900. It's hard to get away from the effects of big oil money and interest, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how much of that you heard. I try to really squish it down into like a digestible piece. Does that make sense to you?
It made perfect sense.
Okay.
You connected the dots. And, of course, with President Trump going back into office here in about 57, 58 days, we will once again, in 6 months, 12 at the most, we will once again become a oil exporting country. And that will give us a lot of independence and start, at least prices won't go up anymore. I can't say prices will come down on various manufactured goods. But everything we consume, whether it's a loaf of bread or an automobile or a pair of tennis shoes, is affected by the price of petroleum, because petroleum products transport all this stuff back and forth in the country, don't they?
That's my understanding of it.
Yeah. So it can't help but have a good effect.
Yeah, I don't think EVs are doing too well right now.
Even Elon Musk says EVs are not going to thrive. He's a very special product for a very special, tiny percentage of the population. The average guy or average gal wants nothing to do with EVs, and General Motors and Ford and Chrysler basically told the government, we need out of this. and I think President Trump will end the $40,000 per vehicle stipend that the companies that the manufacturers are getting.
That's yes.
That'll come to a screeching halt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully the first day.
But, okay, John, look, I love what I'm hearing. Except, okay, there are a couple of picks where I think, I don't know. I'm not going to name the picks. You guys can figure it out. But there are a couple of selections by President Trump that have me scratching my head in other places as well. Yeah, imagine that. But I don't want to hear. I want to see. I want things to be done now. When he gets in office, I want him to be like Biden with that pile of,
Binders.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
20 or so.
Yeah. Give him a Sharpie and just start friggin' signing. Okay. And then when you're done signing those, we'll bring another load out. And then with another load. And then when you get done with that, hey, Cash, come over here. See that building there? The FBI building? Clear that out. Make them police officers like they were intended to be. Spread them all across the country and make it a museum. That's what I want to see in the first, I don't know. I'll give them a first week. Okay. Let him have his ball and, you know.
Well, my understanding is the FBI, unless something changes, wants a new building with more square feet than the Pentagon. I find it hard to wrap my brain around that. Don't you, Doug?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, yes, I'm sorry. I have to stop. Yes, I do.
And I hope President Trump puts a stop to that. The FBI basically needs to be dismantled, and I don't know that it can be salvaged. There's no authority in the U.S. Constitution to spend any money on something called the FBI. And I've had this argument with FBI agents over lunch, and they basically hang their head. And when I tell them that they can have bake sales to pay for their services, but there's no authority under Article 1, Section 8 for anything called the FBI at all. As about half of the federal government agencies have no authority for money to be spent on them. And
no.
There's
not.
There's not.
Sorry. No, I agree with you on that. Sorry, I had to write a note there. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And should we even have an FBI? You know what I'm sick of, John, and folks in the chat? I am so sick of the left and people on the right, too, but people in general. I'm so sick of the people saying, coddling the FBI, coddling their behavior of going after parents at school boards, coddling their behavior when they walk up to a door in America, knock on the friggin' door and say, hey, I want to talk to you about this or that. I saw something on the social media. You had two fat, one somewhat thin FBI agent. You know, I don't know. They were dressed down. Must have been casual, whatever day. Okay. I remember when they wore suits. They had to wear
That's
suits.
Right. No
okay.
Choice.
In fact, right. they, and in fact, they could not even use blue pens. Okay. Only Hoover used the blue pen. But anyway, I'm so sick and tired of the FBI being weaponized by the left, which they are accusing us, the right, of doing it. Okay, are you on a freaking list? Hey, lefty, are you on a list? No? Well, you're not working hard enough. You should be. Okay, I'm sick of the people. I'm sick of the FBI going at terrorizing people for, well, January 6th.
Well, we may find out soon how many FBI agents were at that event undercover. That has not been revealed yet. It's going to be, I would say, 100 or more. What do you think, Doug?
100 around the donut cart. Okay, if there was one there. I'm going to say well over 200.
Okay.
I'm going to say it would approach 300, and that is perhaps a conservative estimate. You have video that was kept back by the Unselect Committee, the same committee that threw Navarro and Bannon in prison, and the same committee that imprisoned, or the same, yeah, the same committee that imprisoned, ultimately, all of the J6ers. They were dressed as Trump supporters. I saw a video of them putting on Trump gear or taking off to reveal Trump gear and acting as provocateurs in the crowd. We know this was a sham. And if we had any balls in us, John, I'm telling you right now, if we had the cojones, we would go out to the gulag holding the prisoners and bust them out and bust heads while doing so. That's right. I said it. If we had the people and the will. And you know something? It's getting damn close to that. If nothing happens with the J6ers by, I don't know, week two of the President Trump administration, I guarantee you there will be hell to pay, sir.
Well, they need to be. I've investigated hundreds of crimes, as have you, Doug. And what happened to the J6ers is a complete sham. Of our judicial system, where a man or woman normally who's charged with murder is brought before a judge, typically 2 or 3 days at the most. The charges are read, and typically there'll be a bond set. Maybe $1 million is not unusual, but a bond will be set. And if they make the bond, they're free to go. That didn't happen to the J6ers. They've been held without bond, without trial now for some of them approaching 4 years. A common murderer is given more courtesy and more access to proper judicial system than the J6ers. It's completely unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. Julie Kelly has done a fabulous job. You know, I thought Julie Kelly, most people in the chat know Julie Kelly on social media, frequent guest on Bannon's show, great Substack author, most of the people. Thought she was an attorney. She's not an attorney. Her history is not this, but she has the she's got the ability to dig and to ask reasonable questions and to really find out the truth about various issues. So if we all did that, and if we all shared the findings, we could in theory enforce action. And if we don't enforce action, that is to say, making sure that now, not every look, there are some Antifa embeds with there were on January 6th, 2021.
That's right, there were.
Okay. you keep them in jail. And by the way, Michael Byrd, that piece of crap cop that got a $36,000, $37,000 bonus that shot Ashley Babbitt, okay, he should be one of the first to be investigated for his actions on that day, as well as a couple of other Capitol policemen decorated. There were no police officers that died that day. No police officers died that day. No police officers were hit, were murdered that day. None. None. Zero. You've been lied to. Everyone has been lied to by the Unselect Committee, by the media, by Biden, by Matthew Graves. I got a good article or a good thing here. Actually, John, you got to see this video. It's Julie Kelly detailing the crimes against American citizens committed by Matthew Graves. Matthew Graves is one of the worst human beings on the planet and responsible for a lot of the J6 convictions. You got to see it. Call it up when you want, but anyway, so we've got to make things right again. And I'm afraid, John, do you think we can fix this? I'm afraid we can't fix this.
Well, I've given this a lot of thought, quite frankly, Doug. One man can only do so much. President Trump is obviously our leader in many things, but what I've been telling people is the fight has just begun. It's not over. The people who oppose us, what I refer to, the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, they've been at this for decades, infiltrating the lowest levels of government all the way up to the Oval Office, which is being vacated. And they need to be replaced by Bible-believing patriotic conservatives at every level, at the city council level, at the county commission level, with sheriffs, state reps, state senators, and, of course, U.S. Representatives and U.S. senators. At every level of government, we need to recapture what's been lost over decades to our opposition. And, Doug, I want to move on to a different topic here. That would be what Donald Trump may or may not do regarding Operation Warp Speed after he takes office. I read one analysis that I hoped was true, but I still don't know, that when he instituted that, he headed off what was supposed to be a 10-year lockdown, not a 2-year lockdown, which would have devastated the U.S. economy for maybe an entire generation.
Oh, brother, I got to hear this. All right. Fire away on this. Because now you mentioned this before. But go ahead. I want to hear
The analysis is as follows, if I can make it into a neat little package here. He found out that the COVID pandemic was supposed to go on for 10 years, which if it had happened, it would have wrecked our economy for a generation. And he chose Operation Warp Speed as a way to curtail and end the pandemic, maybe or maybe not knowing how dangerous these vaccines were, which is another whole topic we can discuss. But I hope I don't know President Trump personally, but I was at a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma earlier this year. There were three people there that had met with President Trump in the last couple of months. And they actually asked President Trump to come clean about the vaccines being harmful, Operation Warp Speed, killing people. And he said he just refused to do so. Now, at the time, of course, he was still running for president. Now he has a luxury he didn't have only a few weeks ago, the luxury of being president and never running for office again, ever, which gives him the flexibility, I believe, to say whatever he wants to say, assuming he doesn't want to upset the apple cart when it comes to passing legislation with the U.S. Senate and U.S. Congress. So hopefully he'll go public about the truth behind Operation Warp Speed, the truth behind COVID being a biological weapon, the COVID vaccines not only being biological weapons, but not even being made by Pfizer and Moderna, being manufactured by government military contractors. I have some hope that that may happen with Robert Kennedy Jr. being put in a position he's being put in as head of the National Institute of Health. He'll have the authority and the power to expose all these crimes have been taking place now since January 2020. So I'm holding out hope that that will happen. As I've said many times, you and I are discussing on this show here, Doug, what's taking place right now is the worst crime in human history. That's the 900-pound gorilla in the middle of the living room. And that's not going to go away. It needs to be addressed. And I hope President Trump does address it and expose, hopefully, that he was lied to about the vaccines being safe and effective. I don't know if that's the case. I hope it's the case that he will go ahead and give Bobby Kennedy Jr. the free rein to go after Fauci and all the other criminals involved in poisoning about half to two-thirds of the American public, including innocent children who are still getting the vaccines. It's not optional. It has to happen. Despite all the good things President Trump has promised, which are good things, he has to go down this road and end the vaccine. Vaccines need to be made illegal, basically, and all dumped in the ocean, as far as I'm concerned.
I believe with RFK, I don't really have a lot of love for RFK Jr.'s politics, but I do like the way he thinks on our national health and certain health topics, including and especially vaccines. Now, if you make a vaccine with an attenuated virus and you test it and it clears after, 80 years of testing, or at least a lot of testing, that's one thing. But when you connect the autism rates to the number of vaccines, or vaccines in quotation marks, okay, as RFK has done, and also has written about at least tangentially in his book, The Real Dr. Fauci, and now RFK Jr. has also come out and spoken about this very topic, I believe that RFK will, in fact, do his level best to change the system. I don't know if he will be, frankly, if he will be successful. I believe this is a new topic, but a kind of diversion of what we're saying. But I really think that the lives of RFK, of Musk, of Elon Musk, of President Trump, of Cash, of really all of his cabinet picks, with a couple of exceptions, are at risk. And I think, something happens to one, one high profile one, including and especially President Trump, all bets are off, gloves come off, blood flows. I that's my thought, but go ahead. I'm getting off on a tangent. Go ahead, sir.
That's okay. Tangents are welcome.
Well, thanks.
One of the things that RFK Jr. has mentioned is that he's in favor of safe and effective vaccines. One thing he never mentions is a single vaccine he considers to be safe and effective. We recently found out that the healthiest Americans are the ones who never had any vaccine of any kind. That's the healthiest Americans. And, of course, I've known this for a number of years, looking at the Amish population, which almost none of them get any vaccine for any reason. Now, once again, you're looking at a very healthy population of Americans. My own education and what I've learned about vaccines is I will never accept any vaccine for any reason ever again. And that's just my own analysis and my own conclusion.
I would never either. Hang on one second here. I want to address Starbright in the chat. Thank you very much. We were talking earlier about moments ago about the safety of President Trump and others. Putin saying he's going to, there's still a danger of President Trump. A week before Florida, I notified the campaign, and I can document this. It's not about me. It's about the what's out there, the information that's out there, that there would be another attempt. And I've got that documentation. I can't show it because it's in the hands of his team. And I said, look, there's going to be another attempt. The network is still out there. And sure enough, it was 9 days later that happened in Florida. So Starbright, you're right on the money. Thank you. And John, if you're not looking at the chat, there's people, a lot of people in the chat wishing you well, hoping you're doing well, including John JH64, I believe, and others. So just saying.
Well, I appreciate all the chat that I've got is obviously not the same chat you've got, because I got a big blank screen here for chat.
Well, that's not right. So,
well, I don't know how this. I mean, I got the chat open, but
stupid technology, well, you know. I know.
Regardless,
I love knocking you off your thought process there. Don't I do well? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Roger that. Well, another analysis that I'm reading, and I should have carbon copied you on this, predictions that we're going to lose 30-40% of our population due to the COVID vaccinations over the next 3 to 5 years. No society can go through that without having basically what might be described as societal collapse, having to rebuild our society. Looking at who do they make sure got the vaccinations? Everybody in the healthcare industry, everybody in the military, all the first responders, the police, firemen, paramedics, the men and women who are the glue that holds this country together, the vaccinations were focused on those men and women nationwide. And if they become disabled or dead, as far as I can tell, that will be absolute chaos when we lose our first responders. The military becomes ineffective. Police are dead or disabled. The entire healthcare industry is basically gone. It would be an absolute nightmare, Doug, and it would take years to recover while we're scrambling to fill in the vacant spaces for all these men and women who died because they took the clot shot, either voluntarily or under coercion. We saw both.
Let me ask you a question, and I'll pose it to the chat as well. How many people need to die suddenly and unexpectedly from heart problems? How many reports of clots are going to be needed to convince people that they've been hosed, that they've been lied to, that this is a genocidal biowarfare product, that this is all to their detriment? You got people, I saw it today. Okay, I saw it today, wearing friggin' masks that don't do a damn thing. The science is out there about masks. You're not doing anything for your health.
Actually, you're hurting your health. You are hurting your health.
So my question to you, how many people need to die? How many more people need to die inexplicably, suddenly?
Okay, here's your answer, Doug. People, if they choose to, and most do choose to, live in an echo chamber where there's nothing that they read or see that interferes with what they believe to be true. And that's where they live. And that's an unfortunate truth, but that is the truth. They won't watch Fox News, which is pretty tame compared to what you and I know. But they won't even go that far. Alex Jones, they look at a nutcase. They would never watch or listen to anything Alex says or what you and I say. They live in this echo chamber where nothing penetrates that is adverse to their core values and their core belief system. So it won't matter how many people die, Doug, because they won't even be aware of it. They will not even be aware of it, unfortunately.
What do they do, just step over grandma? Or step over their 16-year-old son, or step over the body of, how can a person of, I'll just say a normal person living their life, how can they not notice, Fred over there, I used to work with that.
Well, here's your answer. At some point, the echo chamber will fall apart, and a bigger percentage will become aware of the clot shot killing people. I don't know what that point is, but that point will, it's well known. We've known since, it's been 2 years ago this fall, that a top insurance executive revealed that there's a 20% increase in all cause morbidity. And So the word is getting out incrementally, but not fast enough. And of course, once you've got the vaccinations, there's nothing, you can't be unvaccinated. So it becomes a big so what. My daughter, her husband, my two youngest grandchildren, they're both freshmen in college. All four of them have got at least the one and vaccination and three boosters each, maybe more than that. So far, they appear to be healthy. But long term, I expect them to either be sterile or dead. And
that's sad. Now, early on, I don't think I've ever admitted this on air before. My wife would swear. I mean, she'd admit to this, too. Early on, my wife said, well, because we were talking about the injection, and she didn't know anything, really. And I explained everything to her ultimately. But she said, what would you do if I got the shot? I looked at her, I said, I would divorce you. Now, that was the first time in 38 years, I think, I've ever seen her stunned.
Right.
Okay. I said, she said, you really feel that strongly about this? Because, you see, we can have normal conversations.
It's not a matter of feeling strong. It's a matter of not wanting to commit suicide.
There you go. And I told her, I said, look, I love you. I care about you. You've got to trust me when I tell you. And this is early, early on. I said, these are not what they say they are. But to your point about, you know, having a daughter, having family members that you know, that's got to be tough. I mean, John, man.
Well, I buried my wife 5 years ago, so I've been through as much emotional distress as a human being can go through. Having to go through that again is something I know I can deal with it because I already dealt with the worst. I'll just have to accept that as her making a decision against my wishes. And it's not a matter of education or how bright you are. We had J.D. Vance has admitted to getting the vaccination, for example.
Go figure. You know, I mean,
yeah. And he said publicly he never got so sick in all his life until after he got the clot shot. His long-term health, I don't have great hopes for it. And we've had very well-educated, prominent individuals that voluntarily took the clot shot. They are now expressing regret. Well, it's too late. Most things in life can be fixed with either time or money, but time and money are not going to fix the clot shot. You probably have killed yourself, even though it's delayed by maybe a couple, 2 or 3 years. As reality, it's my reality, and I'm sure most of our listeners are in the same reality.
Sorry for interrupting, but do you equate that event with the Deagle report of the population down, you know, being down?
Well, the Deagle report estimates that the real kill off in America and the Western nations begins in about 3 weeks with the start of the new year. Estimating about 2/3 of Americans will be dead before the year's over. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. We wondered for years about the Deagle report. How in the world can that many people die that quickly? War can't do it. Even nuclear war can't kill that many people that fast. But this biological weapon called vaccinations, it can do that fast. And that's, it makes sense to me that will fulfill the promise made by the Deagle report that 2/3 of Americans will be dead before 2025 is over, sir.
I don't know what to make of that Deagle report. I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't.
Well, let's refresh people's memory. Deagle is a private intelligence service similar to Rand Corporation. They get hired by governments and companies to do studies on any given topic. That's what they do. It's a private intelligence service. And as any large private intelligence service has, they've got private confidential sources that they make use of to provide information for their clients. That's what the Deagle report is part of, the Deagle company. they removed that report from their website, but it's been saved, and anybody can still read it. It's easily accessed. It will be catastrophic worldwide with the large kill-off that is unprecedented in history, which has already begun. There's no precedence for a 20% increase in all-cause morbidity in this country. The American Civil War didn't do that. The Spanish flu didn't do it. We've never seen this before in our history. It's unprecedented, Doug, but it's happening right now before our eyes.
Have you noticed now that we are being prepared for the bird flu, that the media, folks, you can take this to the bank, in my opinion. I think around the time of the inauguration.
And you know that the vaccine for the bird flu is already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed. The real kill shot.
Yeah.
The real kill shot.
And if people, you know, I'm sorry. If people fall for this again, John, they don't deserve to die, but man, they deserve to have their heads examined. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Well, I do what I can. I did a show in the late spring of 2020 with Dr. Horowitz. We warned people two things. First of all, there's never been a safe and effective vaccine developed and ready for the market 9 months or less. That's never, ever happened, because it can't. The second warning was that my belief, now backed up by evidence, that the vaccines were already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed, another fact. I don't know how many lives we saved with that broadcast, but we probably saved a number of thousands of lives. And I'll continue to do this as long as I'm on the air, to warn people and save lives. And I know you'll do the same thing, won't you, Doug?
You're pinning me down here. Yes, I will. I had some thoughts. I don't know, John. You know that you and I are being censored. You and I are being investigated. We're on FBI lists. I've got emails, directives stating, "Hey, preserve this, preserve that." I got people threatening to sue me. Every day I wake up and I'm thinking, does it matter anymore? I could put on a pair of plaid pants, go down and play shuffleboard, in Florida. But you know what, though? You're right, though. You and I are not made of we're made of a different material that withstands that kind of pressure. Go ahead, sir.
We're called as alpha male warriors, and that's what we are. And we've proven ourselves in that decade after decade. So I know no fear. I take calculated risks. I flew 57 combat missions over Vietnam. I've jumped out of airplanes 9 times. And I found out how much fun parachute malfunction is on one of those jumps, by the way.
Really? And, wait a second. Perfectly good airplanes you jumped out of?
Yes, sir. And if you got the training, you know how to deal with parachute malfunction, which I did successfully and had a safe landing. But, and of course, all the time
I've gone. Pair of pants ready for me after that. Seriously? I mean, wait, don't brush over that. That's a pretty heroic thing. I mean, that's a pretty ballsy thing to have your parachute, look up and say, oh, man.
Well, anybody can jump out of an airplane one time. In fact, it's now a law that you have to do a dual jump with an instructor. But it's one thing climbing an airplane knowing it's going to be shot at. It's another time to do it 57 times and then come back on and count the bullet holes every time the plane lands. And so I'm an alpha male warrior. You're an alpha male warrior. And we take calculated risk, and we, as part of our career, go places other people are fearful to go, do things other people are fearful to do. That's what an alpha male warrior does. And I will continue to do so, any way that it's necessary. Being a talk show host is not nearly as dangerous as some things I've done in my life, obviously. The same thing for you, Doug. I went by myself looking for murder suspects, and it's just what we do. So I'll be a talk show host as long as I have airtime, and I will continue to warn people, help people to find the truth, lead them in the right direction, and save as many lives as I can save. And that's my job, Doug. And I know I'm certain you feel the same way, don't you, sir?
I do. John, do you ever consider your mortality, the legacy? Because I guess we're getting into some pretty deep philosophical, esoteric things. But, I mean, and I wonder, too, how many people in the chat. Because, folks, you're in the chat for a reason. You're here because you're interested in the topic. Maybe you're interested in John Moore, what he's got to say, what I have to say, whatever. but... You know, I think we all know that when we leave, I think that, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what are we leaving behind? That's kind of where I'm at. If I can't look at myself in the mirror, and I know you're the same way.
Well, at some point in your life, you start thinking about legacy. I'm 77 years old, and I have given that some thought. I know I've lived a life where I've helped hundreds of men and women and in very difficult circumstances. I've saved a few lives. I've protected many people in executive protection details. And I think I can look back in my life and say it's been a good life. And I continue to have a good life and continue to help people and save people. As a radio talk host,
you've made a difference. I guess we all have made a difference. I don't care if you're using social media as a metric. If you got 10 people that subscribe or follow you, you're making a difference in some of those people's lives. You walk down the street, you live an ordinary life. I live an ordinary life, by the way. We all make a difference in other people's lives. You just never know what we're going to say or do that will impact positively another person. And I always want to make sure, with a few exceptions, the bad people, which I want to make a negative impact on the bad people. And I want them to remember me from that. But with the good people, I want to be able to be there when they're in need, lift them up when they need uplifting, and help them either informationally or inspirationally. That's just me. John, I know you're the same way. Go ahead.
I'm absolutely the same way. I got involved in talk radio in 1995 because I wanted to educate people about the Second Amendment. That was my primary goal back then. It's obviously expanded way beyond that. And it's what we do, Doug. But let's move on to something else here.
Go ahead, fire away.
Well, one of the things that President Trump has promised to do, and I believe Robert Kennedy Jr. will be part of this, is to eliminate another poison from our country. That's fluoride in the drinking water. I've known about this for decades. I've warned people about it for decades. And I believe it's no mistake that, and I haven't researched, but I'm pretty sure the big blue cities have sodium fluoride in the drinking water. Which is also an active ingredient in a number of psychotropic drugs, by the way. It's well known in psychotropic drugs to make people more pliable, more easily manipulated, which is why they're in a psychotropic drugs to begin with. We've harmed at least half, maybe two-thirds of our population for decades, going back to the mid-1950s in Rochester, New York, the first city to put fluoride in drinking water, under the premise of a false study that was done showing that fluoride helped people's teeth, which it doesn't. It makes people's teeth softer, makes their bones brittle. It calcifies the pineal gland, harms every internal organ, and lowers IQ. What a horrible thing this has been to our more than half the population now for 60-plus years. You know, luckily, my parents left St. Louis County before fluoride was introduced to the water, so I managed to grow up without it, and I'm very grateful that I did. But getting the fluoride out of drinking water, also, there's another bonus. older pipes, copper pipes that are joined with solder, for example, the solder has lead in it. The fluoride makes a caustic solution that leaches the lead out of the pipes and puts it into the drinking water. President Biden recently talked about removing lead pipes. There's nothing wrong with lead pipes at all if it's plain water. Plain water and lead pipes do not interact with each other.
I had a plumber tell me that.
Yeah, he's right.
You know, which I found hard to believe, but folks, if you do the research on this now, depending on if there are substances put in that water, let's say you're running a system of water or a fluid for some reason, independent of your water supply. It depends on what goes through that lead pipe. So when you're talking about water, pure water, it should not be a problem.
It's not a problem. It's absolutely not a problem.
Yeah.
Fluoride used to be sold in hardware stores as rat poison. They no longer do that because it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous to be sold as rat poison. It is absolutely one of the most dangerous and most poisonous substances known to mankind. And we've been putting it in our drinking water now, going back to the mid-1950s. It really ramped up in the late 50s, early 60s nationwide. And, a 10-point IQ reduction means, if you go from 100 IQ, you could run a Ford dealership. If you got a 90 IQ, you're probably going to be the janitor. That's the difference 10 points makes. And it's been happening for decades. Yeah. It's very harmful to the entire population.
So who, in your research, who was responsible? You said Rochester was the first city.
Okay, here's what happened. During the project to make the atomic bomb in World War II, they had a manufacturing process that ended up with many, many tons of fluoride as a waste product. There was an accidental release in New Jersey. It went downwind and killed horses, harmed farms, and millions of dollars of damage. When they analyzed what happened, they said, well, gentlemen, this war will be over. And when the war is over, there's going to be massive lawsuits over this release of this fluoride. So they needed a cover story. The cover story was to have a fake study showing that fluoride was healthy, made teeth healthier. That was based on something which is true, that natural fluoride in drinking water that has been put there by chemicals can be healthy for the teeth, but that's a different story. That's natural fluoride. It's not the waste product that's been put in the drinking water now since Rochester, New York. That study was published. Rochester, New York started putting it in the drinking water, and it went from there. It became a national goal to have fluoride in drinking water nationwide, and they had a lot of success doing that. More recently, the mayor of Rochester, New York, found out about the fake study and was very angry when she found out that they'd been lied to in 1955, 1956, along that area time frame. So we have a nationwide harm caused to about half our population for decades. You know, the pineal gland being calcified is very harmful to human health, to say the least. Bones being made brittle. The U.S. Army had to go to running shoes in the early 1980s because they could no longer have the bones of these young soldiers running in combat boots being broken, which is what was happening because of the fluoride poisoning making their bones brittle. I don't want to dwell on it too much longer there, Doug, but it needs to happen, and hopefully Trump will do that the first week or two of the administration, is get the fluoride out of drinking water, helping Bobby Kennedy to make America healthy again. One of the things Bobby Kennedy has said is that 70% of American adults have a chronic illness, and we've also seen the lifespan of Americans go down every year for the last 3 years. That's never happened in the history of our country. The lifespan going down at all, let alone every year for 3 years, which is a direct consequence, I believe, of the COVID clot shot.
Before you get off, Make America Healthy Again, that reminded me of a picture of Bobby RFK Jr. putting a turkey in a deep fryer, okay, outside. And I got a question, pardon me for a second, John, question for Chatsters. If I want to buy a deep fryer and I want to use lard or tallow or something to fry fish, breaded fish, what do I put in the deep fryer is my question. So, Chatsters, please put your answers and I'll see them. Okay. But John, I had to ask that question because it was bugging me all weekend. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Well, make sure the deep fryer is outside and keep a really big fire extinguisher handy.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about a residential internal deep fryer where I can fry breaded fish. I saw somebody said bacon grease. Well, no, I want, like, can I buy like lard or something? And I don't know. Go ahead, please.
Well, okay. That's not my expertise. I don't have any comment on that. The deep state.
Wait, I got a question. Is fluoride toothpaste okay?
Oh, no, not at all.
That was a question from the chat.
Well, read the package it comes in. It says if you swallow toothpaste, call poison control. It's right on the package. And what more do you need to know? Why would you put something in your mouth where if you swallow it, you need to call poison control? Why would you do that in the first place? It's right on the package.
That's a good point.
Every package of toothpaste that has fluoride in it has that warning. It's a black box warning that every package of toothpaste with fluoride has on it. Has printed right on there.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I do presentations in person, I bring the toothpaste with me, a tube of Crest toothpaste, where it says right on there, if you swallow toothpaste, call poison control. It's pretty self-explanatory, Doug. I mean, what other product that is meant to go in your mouth has that warning? None that I can think of.
No, that's true. Yeah, okay. So for the people in chat asking that question, yes, it's bad for you. Okay. Continue, sir. Yeah, by the way, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, that's his website. Folks, support this guy. This guy works like, I don't know, 23 hours a day. He sleeps sitting up, I think, half the time. But he has a show that's The Liberty Man. There it is on your screen. 8 to 11, I believe it is, Eastern time. Right?
8 to 11 Eastern, that's right. Yep.
Okay.
Monday through Friday.
That math is tough for me because I've been eating toothpaste for the last... I'm kidding. But okay, so 8 to 11, The Liberty Man.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my website's thelibertyman.com. My live show is there, the link, and the archives, which have video. And I'm starting this week a weekly video podcast. It'll be published every weekend. I want to go back to the fluoride toothpaste just a little bit before we move on. You probably, when you were a child, your mother may have wanted to put medicine under your tongue. Is that accurate, Doug?
There and other places you
well,
don't want
okay.
to know.
Okay. The mucous membrane under your tongue puts whatever you put there into your bloodstream instantly. That's why you put some medications under your tongue. Now, if you got fluoride toothpaste in your mouth, it's going to be under your tongue also, isn't it? Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it
is. Yeah.
So your body is absorbing the fluoride right there through that mucous membrane under your tongue. I don't want to dwell on it too much longer, but I had a lady in one of my shows, you know, I do a live call-in show. She came back after a break. She says, John, I went to my medicine cabinet. My toothpaste tube says exactly what you said. Call poison control if you swallow it. She was shocked, an older lady. She was shocked and obviously disappointed.
That's why I never brush my teeth. No, actually, Ted Brewer, Health Masters, they've got some great toothpaste. Alex Jones has got some great toothpaste. We use, I personally use baking soda, but anyway, Yeah. So, but I avoid all things fluoride because of that warning and the fact that, yeah, makes you stupid. Go ahead.
Okay. A number of high level men and women who know about military matters, know about war, are saying World War III is already being fought. And I can't find a way to disagree with them. Right now, it's a proxy war with U.S. weapons being controlled by U.S. servicemen being used against Russia. These missiles that Ukraine is firing are blind without the help of American satellites and American AWACS aircraft. They won't know where they're going. They need American technology and American personnel to make them fly straight to their intended target. The fact that an American did not push the button to fire these missiles is almost irrelevant. And if Ukraine starts shooting missiles that have large warheads at Moscow, I believe Moscow's patience will be at an end. They'll have no choice. Right now, whatever reached Moscow has been relatively small. With small payloads, it can't do very much damage. On one hand, on the other, I'm almost shocked and surprised that Russia has shown the restraint that they've shown by not retaliating massively, which they have the ability to do so, obviously, against Ukraine and against NATO countries, providing all this weaponry being used against them. Hopefully, President Trump will be able to defuse the situation, bring this war to an end. It needs to be brought to an end, and restore peace in that part of the world. It is an absolute must before World War III becomes no longer a proxy war, but a war involving direct conflict between the NATO countries, United States, and Russia. And of course, Russia is not in this alone. They have Chinese troops. They have North Korean troops already on the ground. And this could spin wildly out of control really quick if Ukraine sends big missiles with big warheads against Moscow. That won't be tolerated, Doug. And we have just a few weeks now before the inauguration, less than a month. And, about six weeks.
Why the big push, John, of the Biden regime sending military aid? Headlines yesterday, today, and they're sending a military aid or more military assets to Ukraine. Why now? I mean, stuff we don't have. I mean, or we can't afford to give away. What's their intent, do you think?
Well, their intent is misguided because they can't possibly defeat Mother Russia. The Russian forces outnumber them tremendously. Their firepower outweighs them tremendously. I look at it as a delaying action. Maybe they're hoping to get Russia to the peace table with this increased weapons that they're getting. And of course, a lot of the aid going to Ukraine is not weapons so much as it is cash, which a lot of that cash is probably being kicked back to American legislators that are voting in favor of it. That's my belief. When you're shipping pallets of $100 bills shrink wrapped to another country and there's no accountability for it, I have a worst case scenario belief that a lot of it's being siphoned off to pay for condos in Miami Beach and payoffs to American politicians. In the absence of other evidence, that's what I believe, Doug.
Mm.
We had that happen. There's some belief, and I agree with it, that the corruption in Afghanistan has now been transferred to the corruption in Ukraine. We don't know how many pallets of shrink-wrapped $100 bills going to Afghanistan, almost completely unaccounted for. And it's well documented that high-level sons of high and daughters of high-level American legislators are getting payoffs from Ukraine. Not very cleverly concealed, Doug.
You know, the infrastructure of the, within Ukraine that really took decades to develop is when you begin unraveling that thread, it shows the money trail like you said, not necessarily to legislators, but to the family members of those. I mean, it is astounding to see the amount of money that's being laundered through Ukraine. It really is, John.
It is. It's it's tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Tens of millions. And I'm sure, I hope anyway, that President Trump will bring that to a screeching halt. And of course, the Pentagon in general has very poor accounting for the money that they receive, billions of dollars unaccounted for. In fact, the whatever hit the Pentagon, I'm not sure it was an aircraft, but whatever hit the Pentagon just happened to hit the part of the Pentagon where those records were kept. How convenient.
It was a coincidence, I'm sure. And you know, I, again, that's one of those questions. I have a list of, I asked the chat, people in the chat, what they, you know, what they wanted further investigated. And just to give you an idea, John, obviously Scarborough, I was talking about Joe Scarborough with a dead intern, Lori Klozoutis, in his office. Let's see what else. The Pentagon, the White House chief, White House chef at Obama, or the former White House chef at Obama's, the death of Colby, the Clinton body count, the death of Wellstone, bombs at the DNC. Let's not forget about that. That would be a huge thing to unravel. Murrah Building and so on, but also the Pentagon on 9/11, absolutely, and 9/11 in its entirety. So you're right on this. Go ahead, sir.
Well, those are all important matters that deserve a proper, impartial investigation. And I look at them as side issues compared to the bigger issues of what's been done to our country. The military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower warned us about is in full view, finally, and in some regards. Let's look at, for example, the F-35, the most expensive jet fighter ever manufactured, was supposed to be an inexpensive version of the F-16 to begin with. Now we're at a point, I just found out over the weekend, Doug, that the high-tech avionics that are supposed to be in the F-35 can't be in there because they can't provide the cooling necessary to make them function. So they have to leave out the most advanced avionics because the engine of the F-35 is not powerful enough to both make the plane go and make the air conditioning necessary for the avionics. What an absolute nightmare that airplane has become, which, by the way, you still can't fly it in a thunderstorm, as far as I know, which is kind of a joke, but that's reality. Now, something President Trump did about a few months before he left office, he placed the first new order for F-15s. There had not been a new order for F-15s in more than 20 years. Somebody finally got to him and said, "Mr. President, the performance difference between the F-15 with its most recent upgrades and the F-35 is negligible, almost non-existent." And I've had an F-15 engineer tell me that personally, almost non-existent. The Air Force generals would not allow the Air Force F-15s in our inventory to get the latest inventory, latest upgrades in avionics that are given to the Israeli Air Force and the South Korean Air Force, because it would be too embarrassing to have it shown and demonstrated that the F-15 with the latest upgrades is negligibly undifferent from the F-35, the most expensive jet fighter ever manufactured. That's just one tiny example of the military-industrial complex spending money needlessly. We didn't need the F-35. All we needed were brand-new F-15s with the latest avionics, which President Trump authorized to be bought. And the entire military-industrial complex is loaded with all kinds of boondoggles where the money changes hands, needless weapon systems are built that either don't work at all or are already being duplicated by an existing weapon system. That needs to change, and hopefully when Elon Musk and this Doge program get going, they'll hammer down on the on the military-industrial complex to eliminate the waste and fraud, which is in the tens of billions, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars, Doug.
Man, I hope so. You know, DOGE, with DOGE being not part or not an official part of the government, it would be kind of like a consultant in a private corporation as opposed to part of the government structure, which I'm glad it's not. But it needs to have some teeth, at least on the receiving end of the information. So I hope that this is investigated properly and something is done with all of this graft. I mean, it needs to be done.
Well, it needs to be. It did not begin with Obama. It goes back decades.
Oh, yeah.
To the mid-1970s when the first female cadets arrived at West Point. Look at that. Let's look at that a little bit. Let's take two twins. Both of them are a male and a female. One, they're both 5'2". They're both excellent athletes. They're both really bright young men and young women. The 5'2" twin can go to West Point, but the 5 foot female, the 5'2" male twin cannot go to West Point. And there's no logical explanation for that. The 5'2" male twin is going to be stronger and run faster than his 5'2" female twin. That's just a matter of physics and the way men and women are built. But, we have 5'2" females at West Point right now who cannot possibly perform the same athletic requirements that a male cadet can. They can't do it. They never will, regardless of how big and how tall they are. About 5'2" doesn't matter. A friend of mine was at West Point when the first female cadets arrived. They had to change and reduce every physical requirement for the young ladies. They could not perform the minimal standards that if a man couldn't do it, they'd be sent home to their mama. But the female cadets were all given a free pass. And that's half a century ago. We now have women all over the military, and everybody knows they can't perform at the same level as a male. It's not possible. But they're given a free pass because they're women. And our military needs to be focused on winning battles, not being politically correct. That needs to change. It's caused great harm, and our military has become the laughing stock of all the militaries. No military on the planet except ours and some other Western nations intentionally puts women in harm's way. The Russians don't do it. The Chinese don't do it. But we do. We intentionally put women in harm's way, which is no modern military has ever done that, with the exception of us, the Brits, maybe the French and the Germans, I don't know, the Canadians. These Western nations that have put being politically correct ahead of winning wars. That's what our military is supposed to do, is win wars, not be politically correct, Doug. And I'd love to see President Trump discontinue females being in all the military academies and have women serve where they have served with honor and distinction for decades in the medical corps, where they can make the best use of their unique female talents and keep them out of harm's way. That's what needs to happen, Doug.
You know, I feel the same way, too, and it's unpopular in many circles. You know, I would not want my wife, my daughter, to be a police officer, okay, especially today, but even at any time. Look, I believe women have very, 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 very special talents. I believe guys should treat women with respect. I just would never want anything to happen to someone, to a woman I care about. Having said that, it would hurt me deeply to see someone I care about, wife, daughter, whatever, in a police or military situation. I don't know if that's a guy thing. I don't know what it is.
It is a guy thing. It is, and it goes back for thousands of years. Men protect women. The U.S. military did a drill in South Korea to have a pretend invasion. The entire chain of command fell apart because the men stopped doing what they were supposed to do and protected the women. Everything fell apart in this mock exercise that South Korea was being invaded by the North Koreans. It's a man's instinct to protect women. That's the way we're wired, and it's nothing unique to Americans. That's the way it's been for thousands of years, Doug.
As it should be. You know, again, I look at my wife, and she holds a very, very special place in my heart. I would never want any harm to come to. I would do everything I could to protect her. And you think of Corey Compitore at the Trump rally, you know, protecting his wife and daughter, taking a bullet for them. Essentially, that's what happened. And,
right.
You know, that's what guys are supposed to do, my view. Look, guys, I don't care what anyone says. Guys cannot have children. We don't have the plumbing for, I don't know where. Anyway, we don't have the plumbing for that. So they're very special. I mean, women are very special and should be treated as such. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That doesn't mean they're incapable of certain things. They're more capable than most guys in a lot of things. But they're very precious. That's all. Well, I'm saying.
There's a reason why we don't have any blind musicians in the Army band, the Marine Corps band, or the Navy band, because they're still soldiers. They may be a top singer or a top musician, but they can't be in the Army band, the Navy band, or the Air Force band because right. They're still soldiers. And there's a reason for that, Doug. Our military is supposed to win battles, not be politically correct. I don't know if President Trump's going to give a medical discharge to all the mentally ill men and women who believe they're the opposite sex. In my opinion, that needs to happen. I'm sorry they're going to lose their career on one hand, on the other. They got no place in the military. They're mentally ill, wearing the uniform of the opposite sex, pretending to be the opposite sex. They got no place being in any branch of the U.S. military, period, end of discussion. They need a military discharge to go on with their lives. And I hope President Trump will do that relatively quickly after he gets in office. And I've also understand that he'll be searching out the officers who strongly support all DEI initiatives and making sure that their careers come to an end also. Putting an end to promotions based on race as opposed to based on talent is wrong on the face of it in the private sector as well as the military, Doug, don't you think?
100%. 100%. Okay, now we have about 13 minutes left. I just want to, you had sent me like a kind of just a short note about the topics you want to cover. What haven't we covered? I mean, what should we be looking for? We have 49 days until inauguration. Do you see anything? What's the biggest concern you have over the next 49 days? Not ending. That's not an end date, as you put it. That's really when the work starts. But anything the deep state is going to do? Go ahead.
The Chinese have a plan. The plan is to conquer the United States. The speech of the Chinese defense minister is at my website. It's a 20-year-old speech, but their goals have not changed. Their goal is to conquer the United States, have it become new China with no Americans present.
Right.
If I was in the Chinese Politburo, I would be concerned that President Trump, followed by 8 years of J.D. Vance, will end their ability to conquer the United States. So I would be very concerned about conquering the United States while we're still at our weakest point, where we still have military men dressed up as women in women's uniforms, where we have F-35 jet fighters that can't fly in a thunderstorm, where we have all this DEI silliness in our U.S. military, making it weaker as opposed to stronger. And so I want to strike while we're still at our weakest point, which is right now, and maybe the first 12 months of the Trump administration. The Chinese commandos are already here. I've seen the photographs of them, the videos you have also. Commandos, yes, from South American countries. That's what I'm going to call them, what they are. They're commandos. They're trained and equipped to do two things, kill people and break things. The Russian Spetsnaz are here already. I've already confirmed that to my own satisfaction, that there's Russian Spetsnaz, maybe only 8 or 10 in every county in the United States, but my information, private information, that they're in every county in the United States, ready to be activated if and when they get the orders.
So what would that activation look like, John?
Well,
I mean,
the real commandos, the Spetsnaz, for example, they would be given orders to kill the leadership of our country, both in the private sector and the public sector, the sheriffs, chiefs of police, mayors, pastors of big churches, men and women who own companies with 100 or more employees, and to cause chaos with a minimal amount of their resources. And, of course, destroy the infrastructure of major cities, the water supply, the telecommunications, the natural gas, the electric grid, of course. And you don't need weapons or explosives to do that. Common hardware store items will destroy the infrastructure of any city overnight. All you need are common hardware store tools to do that. You don't need explosives or firearms, either one, to do that. So my concern is that these commandos will be activated sometime during the first year or two of the Trump administration, while we're still at our weakest point, before President Trump has the ability to refurbish our military to have alpha male warriors in charge instead of men pretending to be women. So that's the window. It's the first 2 years of Trump administration. By the third year, I think the military will be on the road to being restored. We'll get recruitment back up to where it needs to be. Men and women will know they can join the military with no fear of getting clot shots, no fear of having a mentally ill man being in charge of their unit. And we'll get all our services back to where they need to be. It's going to take a while. You can't turn a aircraft carrier around like a shopping cart. It's going to take a while to get things back to where they need to be, Doug. And that's the window that the Chinese and Russians will see closing, the window of opportunity to strike while we're at our weakest, Doug, the next couple of years.
Wow. Okay. A follow-up question to that. And folks, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's his website. Go there, bookmark it, check it every day. Support him, support those who support him, as well as products. I have the utmost respect for John Moore. He really brings a lot of class to this show and a lot of sensibility. But do you think, given your scenario, activation orders, would the average American that's paying attention now to what's going on, could they self-activate sufficiently to take out or to mitigate the threat from those people already here?
I don't see it happening.
Sadly, I don't either.
When I trained with a Special Forces A team, we figured out pretty quickly that we could split up into 6 2-man teams and take out any major city with no explosives overnight.
And 12 people.
You know, 6 2-man teams, the power grid, the water supply, would be the two main things. When the power grid's down, the water supply is gone, everything else comes to a screeching halt. And You look at these pumping stations for the water supply, the treatment stations. They have a chain link fence and maybe not a sleepy unarmed guard at night. That's about it. The same thing with the electric power grid. We have hundreds of these stations with these equipment that has a chain link fence and not even an unarmed guard all over the country, that thin sheet metal that could be penetrated with a simple hand tool from the hardware store. The oil drains out and the transformer burns itself up.
Of course.
Simple. You don't need guns. You don't need explosives. I'm not exposing any secrets here.
No, you're not.
Everybody in the special force community in the United States, the China and Russia, this is common knowledge. It's not a secret at all. So I'm not exposing any secrets.
And you go on the dark web, you can see all sorts of plans. There's somebody asked a question in the chat. How would you, how did you, how do you, how would you, could you identify someone from Spetsnaz, for example. I mean,
if you've had training, you can. But they speak English better than my hillbilly neighbors. You're not going to. I mean, they do, seriously. So you're not going to be able to tell the difference. That's a hopeless thing. Now, I know men who've had that training. I haven't had that myself. But if you've had the training, you can do it. In the absence of it, you're not going to be able to tell the difference.
Well, I'm sure you get intelligence reports. I get intelligence reports, unclassified reports from through DHS, my contacts there. They'll send me stuff. Randy does as well. I'm sure you do. So, I mean, you've got that much. And we, folks, you know, we throw that information, mix that in with each show, as John does, I'm sure. But, yeah, I guess that's really the only, for a non, or for a civilian, that's really the only way to tell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Of course, the Chinese can't conceal themselves being Chinese. That's not possible. We have so many immigrants, legal and illegal, from the south of our border. You know, and the tattoos will give away the MS-13, but otherwise, they look like any other immigrant who's come here from the south looking for an opportunity. So there's tens of thousands of these men here,
yep,
trained and equipped. I call them commandos because I think that's the best way to describe them, with their weapons and explosives already locked up, ready for them to take out, and they may or may not put on uniforms. That remains to be seen. So they're here waiting for their orders. And if and when they get their orders, all hell will break loose, Doug.
Good times, right?
Roger that.
But we have to, we must be prepared. And folks, I start out the show by talking about the snow here and how it paralyzed everything unnecessarily. So the point I was making there, it's not about, you know, inconvenience. It's about necessity to be prepared. And that's what John's talking about as well. And we have to be prepared. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. You better catch his radio show, folks. I'm telling you, it's a great show. It's mandatory show prep for me. That's thelibertyman.com. That's 8 in the morning through 11 in the morning. Sometimes I tune in late and I miss some important stuff. I go back. You've got some archives available there. But folks, John Moore, what a class act. Now in the 2 minutes, I'm turning it to you, brother.
Well,
close us up.
We know my show is monitored at the Pentagon. We've verified that. My friend St. Andrews has verified that. He got a phone call after one of our shows saying, "You will not talk about that topic anymore."
So, but did he comply?
Oh, yes. I won't mention what the topic was. But
I was going to ask you, but okay.
No, there's no sense going down that road. I have well-qualified experts in their areas of expertise that are on my show during the week. And yes, my show is 8 to 11 Eastern Time, 7 to 10 Central. And the archives you can listen to anytime you want. The archives have video, by the way. And Doug, I want to take a moment to invite you to be on my weekly podcast one of these weeks.
Sure.
If you're up to it. That's be broadcast over the weekend. Eventually, we're going to go live. That's our goal, is to go live with that podcast. It's taken a year to get all the bits and pieces together with the equipment, the engineering, the technology.
Man, it's not easy. And thank you, Eric.
No, it's not easy. No, it's not easy at all. So we finally got all the pieces put together, and the live podcast will begin soon. I can't remember say when, but right now it's an archived one, and you can watch it on weekends. And I hope people will do that, Doug.
I hope so too. You've got a great show and podcast. You've got great guests. You tap into the intellectual part of current events, which I like. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. You can talk about things on a surface level. John and his show go very deep. And I appreciate that. I really do. And I appreciate you coming on. And yes, in fact, I'm sure Steve and I would, or me or Steve or whatever combination, We'll do that. John, we only have about 15 seconds.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Look forward to doing this again the first Monday of the month.
Well, yeah. And
or more often.